Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us want to really reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I tend to bring you on the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest who I'm going to be interviewing later is Darryl Rogers. He's Communications Campaigns Director with the Alliance for Natural Health USA. It's an organization that really fights for our health and protects us from governmental agencies and other groups that are looking to create real problems for us. We'll be interviewing Darryl in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue of concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about are the top 5 regrets people make on their deathbed. And this comes from Bonnie Ware. She worked for years nursing the dying. So the number one regret of all is, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. What Bonnie's found, most people are not on even a half of their dreams and had to die knowing it was due to choices that they made or didn't make. The second regret is, I wish I didn't work so hard. Now, this comes from male patients that she's worked with. They realize they miss their children's youth, their parents' partner's companionship, and they really regretted spending so much of their lives at work. For women, this was not quite as severe, but the women that Bonnie was working with are from an earlier generation. That may start to change as more women are in the workforce. The third regret, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Many people, she found, suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others, and people developed illnesses that related to bitterness and resentment because they carried this as a result of hiding their feelings and suppressing them. The fourth one, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Many of us get so caught up in our lives that we let those golden friendships slip by over the years, and people in dying realize that all that remains in the final weeks is love and relationships. And the last regret is, I wish I had let myself be happier. Many people did not realize until the end that happiness is actually a choice. The fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within they longed to laugh and have silliness in their life again. So by knowing what the regrets are, guess what you can do is you can look at creating no regrets for you. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter that is information, health, nutrition, wellness-wise. It's different than what I put on Healthy Alternatives usually. And you can sign up for that. Go to teplitz.com. You'll see the Home About button. Click there and you can sign up. You'll also see at the top of the Healthy Alternatives homepage Jerry recommends. These are people, these are services that I think you ought to know about because they can have a real positive impact on your life. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough, the newest discoveries and latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is eating like a caveman. I want to come at this by talking a little bit about multiple sclerosis. The drugs that are used for them are some of the most toxic ones that are out there. Their repercussions from those drugs and side effects can lead everything up to death and all kinds of major, major ramifications in between. The healthy alternative was discovered by Dr. Terry Walls. She had multiple sclerosis. She reversed it after 7 years of deterioration, and she was on the conventional treatments and the drugs she was taking. The change that she made that stopped and reversed her multiple sclerosis was changing her diet. From doing that, she noticed significant improvements in just 3 months, and at 9 months, on her new diet, she was able to take a 18-mile bike ride. What you're looking for with MS is having proper mitochondrial function. These are those little cells that create the power behind us. What kind of things do you need in diet to do that? Well, she found you need animal-based omega-3 fat, creatine, coenzyme Q10, or in the reduced version known as imbiquinol. She also eliminated processed foods, grains, starches, potatoes, corn. And with all of that, within months she saw astounding changes in how she felt and was able to perform again. So you're talking about a hunter-gatherer type of diet where you'll have 3 cups daily of green leaves, such as kale, 3 cups daily of sulfur-rich vegetables from the cabbage and onion family and mushrooms and asparagus, 3 cups daily of brightly colored vegetables, fruits or berries, wild fish for animal-based omega-3s, grass-fed meats, organ meats for vitamins, minerals, and CoQ10, and seaweed for iodine and selenium. You also want to look at taking a supplement of vitamin D to increase that level for yourself. And from a taking of stuff standpoint, she also found, and some other people have found, low-dose naltrexone and alpha-lipoic acid can also be very helpful as well. So there are things you can do that's not the drug route to experiment with if you have MS. Before I bring on my guest, Dara Rogers, I want to share with you that I need your assistance. If you've been listening to my shows, then you know the information I'm giving is valuable information. I would really like to request that you consider tweeting about it, that you post on your Facebook pages, that you email the link to Healthy Alternatives to your friends and family and loved ones and associates so that we can really grow our audience even more than it is now. Because I think the information I give and what I try and do is give things that can really help you have a healthy breakthrough.
My guest today is Daryl Rogers. Daryl is the Communications and Campaigns Director with the Alliance for Natural Health USA. The Alliance is the largest grassroots organization in the country fighting to protect our access to natural health. Daryl has been working in politics for 12 years and brings with him Capitol Hill and political campaign experience. Daryl, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you very much for having me.
So give us an overview of what is ANA USA about, since my listeners may not know much about it.
Sure. The Alliance for Natural Health, we are a nonprofit advocacy group. We're based out of Washington, D.C. We work to protect access to natural health options. That includes everything from complementary and alternative medical practitioners to vitamins and dietary supplements. We want to turn those 100 million people that use vitamins and dietary supplements, that seek out complementary and alternative health, we want to turn those 100 million consumers into political activists. We feel that that is the best way that we can maintain access and help protect and promote alternative health and our access to the tools of alternative health.
Now, when was the Alliance for Natural Health USA founded, and who started it?
Sure. The Alliance for Natural Health USA is actually the U.S. affiliate of an international organization. Dr. Robert Verkirk in the U.K. founded the Alliance for Natural Health, I believe, about 8 years ago. In the United States, the Alliance for Natural Health was actually the American Association for Health Freedom for many years. And then just recently, as of, I believe, 4 years ago, the American Association for Health Freedom became the Alliance for Natural Health USA. We really felt that what Dr. Verkirk and the Alliance for Natural Health organization that he had created really did bridge that gap between kind of a health freedom and a recognition of the importance of environmental health, of clean air, clean water, access to organic foods and non-GMO foods. So it's really a merging of what was a health freedom ideology with real and practical implications. So we found that the Alliance for Natural Health is really a great fit, and our growing grassroots membership is just a testament to that. We've been around in the United States now for about 4 years.
Great. And so, you know, you've got government agencies like EPA and FDA. Why do we need you folks to be involved with protecting that aspect of our natural health?
Sure. Well, we've often found that government agencies, particularly the FDA, don't always have consumers' interest at mind, particularly those of the those consumers that want to use complementary and alternative medicine, also those consumers and individuals that want to use vitamins and dietary supplements. We find that there is a significant amount of bias here in Washington, D.C., and in state houses around the country, against people and practitioners and companies in the natural health community. So we found that you know, the Alliance for Natural Health is really in a unique position because we are that consumer organization that we want to make sure consumers have access to their practitioners. We help protect practitioners themselves from aggressive state boards, and also we oppose state legislation that would limit practitioners from practicing their complementary alternative medicine, and also we've worked with companies in the natural health community as well. So we're the only organization out there that really kind of works with the three pillars of this natural health community to make sure our rights are recognized and upheld.
Great. Just for transparency also from my listeners, I'm actually a member of the organization as well. I know that they do good work, but I want you all to know what they do more clearly. And I know one of the things that has been coming up, and you mentioned it in one of the areas that you focus in on, is protecting practitioners, doctors who are doing alternative and complementary health from their state boards going after them saying this is not legitimate practice of medicine. Have you had any successes in turning that around in any of the states yet?
We have, I mean, not always legislatively. Oftentimes what the state medical boards will often do is try to legislate through intimidation. We contact our growing grassroots membership to get in touch with their state legislators. We've had many state legislators contact state medical boards to say, you know, let's not drive these wonderful practitioners and their patients and consumers out of this state. So we have seen real progress in activating our grassroots and in getting state representatives to put the brakes on some of these state medical boards. But also we've been opposing pieces of legislation that pop up in individual states. Right now, the American Dietetic Association is really attempting to monopolize the practice of nutritional therapy. They don't want anybody else but them doing that. And of course, they're the ones that receive the junk food contributions from Coca-Cola, Mars, and Hershey's and others. You know, they are the first ones to tell you that there's no difference between organic fruit, non-organic fruit, that GMO is no big deal. They just toe the industry line, and they are really attempting to monopolize the practice of nutrition therapy. So we're opposing them. Currently, we beat them back in almost 9 states right now. We also want to make sure that practitioners have access to the tools that they need. We've defeated legislation in states that would have, particularly, I remember one specifically in Vermont that wanted to put a sales tax on vitamins and dietary supplements, even though they're categorized as food in the federal law. So those are the things that we do on the ground in individual states to make sure consumers and practitioners have access to, practitioners have the access to the right to practice, and consumers have access to their practitioners.
So what I hear you saying is that using your grassroots is really having a major impact over there of changing legislatures and boards' minds and folks like that then.
It really is. It's our main tool. I mean, we have a number of tools to use, but when you turn well-informed and passionate citizens of that contact their state representatives, we really do see real change. And on top of that, we have a growing social media following. We have almost 25,000 people following us on Facebook and Twitter. We have a growing email list. We've been doing fantastic work in working with local reporters when issues come up in individual states. So we use every tool available, and including lobbying as well. We have no problem sitting down and meeting with federal or state legislators, expressing the views of the organization, our consumer, and our practitioner members. But we've really found that turning those consumers into political activists really does make a whole lot of difference when it comes to protecting our access to natural health.
What do you see as the current biggest threats to our natural health?
Right now, one of the issues that we work on most specifically in Washington, D.C., the FDA has a draft vitamin guidance for the entire industry. This guidance, which is what they say is their current thinking, and it's only in draft form, is really the antithesis of everything that we want to have in a regulatory system for vitamins and dietary supplements. The FDA has always and will always want to create a drug-like approval process for your vitamins, for your minerals, for your amino acids, for your herbal products. And that is just not the intent of the law. That is not what individuals, practitioners, and companies want. So they've released this very damaging guidance. Now, it's not being implemented yet, but we want to make sure that this piece of regulatory paperwork is pretty much just sent out the pasture and never looked at again, because if it was implemented, if this became final guidance, then it is likely that our entire community would lose access to many probiotics. We would lose access to any type of synthetic botanical. We would lose access to with likely 25,000 different supplements, because they would have to jump through all these new regulatory hurdles to please the FDA, even though these supplements and vitamins are not shown to be damaging or harmful in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, very helpful. So the FDA is really looking to regulate this industry away, and we're trying to stop them.
Yeah, some of the research I've seen on reports of damage in industry to people from vitamins is like, maybe 150 reports a year versus people who die from taking prescription drugs is, over 100,000 a year. Yet the FDA is putting its effort into regulating an industry that has a track record of it's overall pretty safe.
It really is. When you look at the data, the adverse event reporting, there are more people that die of acetaminophen poisoning, which is Tylenol poisoning, a year than there have been all documented cases of any supplement deaths. As a matter of fact, in the past 6 years, I've been going through the Poison Control Center data. Over the past 6 years, there's only one questionable supplement death, where there are over 100,000 prescription drugs and over-the-counter deaths a year, and hundreds of thousands more adverse events reported for those products. So it does have an amazing track record of safety. And when FDA does speak, and when media often picks up the vitamin story, as they often do, they will find the shadiest and sketchiest internet, you know, supplier, and they will focus in on that one supplier or that one retailer online that's not even based in the United States. And they'll use that as an example of more regulation that's needed. Well, what they're doing is illegal, and they know it's illegal, and the FDA has every authority to capture and remove their products from the market and even file charges. So all that, you know, whenever there's an example of some egregious supplement act, those people are obviously breaking the law. They know that they are. This is I believe the supplement sales is about $27 billion a year. There are almost 100 million consumers of vitamins and dietary supplements. It has an unbelievable track record of safety.
But before we continue, I'd like to remind you you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with Daryl Rogers talking about the work the Alliance for Natural Health USA is doing in just a moment.
Four, that is for golfers, a signal to watch out. Well, what I want you to watch out for is something very positive. It's my DVD that's called Par and Beyond Secrets to Better Golf. I've had golfers just watch the DVD and go out and shoot personal best ever by applying the things that I showed them in the DVD. I've had pro golfers who have improved their game just by watching and applying what's in the DVD. If you'd like to learn how you can get Par and Beyond Secrets to Better Golf, go to golf-help.info and you can purchase the DVD there.
So my guest today is Daryl Rogers. He's Communication and Campaigns Director for the Alliance for Natural Health USA, and it's the largest grassroots organization in the country fighting to protect your natural health resources. And he's been working in politics for 12 years and brings with him Capitol Hill and political campaign experience. And so, Daryl, why do you think today more and more people are, because you said the figure almost 100 million people are taking supplements, why do you think more and more people are turning towards natural health?
Well, I think, you know, well, people aren't dumb, and they see the limitations that allopathic medicine has, and they've seen, you know, their good doctors be kind of railroaded by insurance companies and federal regulations, and they just aren't having the time, the and access to medical professionals like they used to, and they're also seeing the limitations of you know, what is modern science and modern medicine, and they're seeking out alternatives. And there's, you know, a wealth of new information available to individuals. And I think people are turning to that, and they are taking control of their own health, and they are putting the pieces together and realizing how important health and diet, vitamin supplementation, exercise, stress management, sleep, how important all these things are to their health. And these are things that they can manage and take on themselves or with complementary and alternative medical practitioners.
I just saw a study recently which says when docs get ill, they don't go the route that they send their patients with prescription drugs and all that. They actually look alternatively for themselves personally.
You know, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen studies and informal kind of articles about the number of doctors that actually seek out way more alternative treatments than they recommend for their practitioners, and that really does just speak to how important and how helpful alternative and complementary medicine can be to sustaining health, to maintaining health, to improving health.
Let's talk about GMOs, mm-hmm. that's genetically modified organisms, and what's happening in California and the initiative going on there with the referendum that's on the ballot.
Sure. This is an issue that's really important to the Alliance for Natural Health. It's important to our membership. It's important to our practitioners. And, you know, as we know, the proliferation of genetically modified organisms in our foods, genetically modified food crops, is nearly everywhere. You can just, it's 100% guaranteed that you are consuming a genetically modified ingredient if you buy a processed packaged food at the supermarket. individuals want to put at least individuals want to know what they're eating, and they have the right to know what they're eating. And FDA has been dragging its feet for decades on this issue, regardless of the science, regardless of how many people want to know their food is genetically modified. They have just simply not caught up to the science. They have not caught up to public opinion. So the Alliance for Natural Health, other organizations, and you know, close to a million people in California that signed the petition to get the ballot, to get the initiative on the ballot in November, believe they want to see the labeling of GMOs. So this is really, really big. So this is going to be a ballot question in November 2012 on whether GMOs should be labeled in California. This is important for the entire country because of the size of California's economy, it's quite likely that these processed goods and these packaged goods companies and food companies aren't going to make two packages. So with California passing a labeled GMO initiative, that could really turn the tide, and we could see labeling of GMO products all over the country. So this is a really important initiative.
Yeah, and there's a lot of confusion out there for folks on products that are called natural versus organic. And in terms of GMO, just because something says natural, there's no government definition of natural. The only definition that exists for not having GMOs in a product is it's labeled organic at this point.
That is correct.
And so the people need to be aware of that. That you know really limits your choices because the companies advertise natural as being great, yet it's GMO. So if you don't live in California, though, and you're not a voter, because now Monsanto and DuPont and those folks are rolling out campaigns against this referendum, what can they do to help support the change?
Sure. We suggest everyone go to labelgmo.org. Come to our website, anh-usa.org. We have information up there for all individuals to take action. You can go to your own social networks. You can go to your own email lists. Make sure that everyone you know in California is up to date on this and that they know that they'll be voting to label GMOs in November. You can contribute to the campaign. You can talk about it online. But label GMO and CA Right to Know, anh-usa.org are all websites you can go to take action. There are plenty of things people can do that are not in California.
Say those last couple of websites again.
Sure. It's carighttoknow.org, labelgmo.org, and our website, anh-usa.org.
Great. Now, you may have seen where the FDA just recently said it even though there's a court order that they're supposed to be taking antibiotics out of cattle feed and animal feed, but that they're actually just backing away and they're saying, do what you want. Have you seen that, and what are you guys
that's an issue that we follow pretty carefully. Because it's really important, and even mainstream medical organizations like the American Pediatric Association, even the AMA have even said that this is an important issue for public health. That you know what farmers are doing. When I say farmers, I mean large feedlot operations, concentrated feed operations. We're talking thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of animals under one roof. They pump these animals so with antibiotics because if they didn't, these animals would likely die because the conditions they live in are so horrid. But the antibiotics also help these animals gain weight. What we're finding now is that these antibiotics get transferred over to the individuals that are eating these this food. FDA was told back in 1977, over 30 years ago, to take action on this, and they've dragged their feet ever since. Finally, a federal judge is telling FDA, you have to rule on this. FDA said, okay, fine, we'll do something. We're going to ask industry to voluntarily stop doing this. And the federal judge said, that's not enough. And so individuals, organizations are pressing FDA to really put their foot down on this practice because it is recognized in pretty mainstream medical community and mainstream scientific community that the overuse of antibiotics in animals is causing superbugs and antibiotic-resistant bacteria in humans. FDA has been dragging their feet, and it's getting to a point now where they can't they can no longer deny the existence of gravity, and the gravity of the situation is very real. So that is what's happening right now.
But they keep trying. Gravity doesn't exist.
They're going to keep trying, but it's just the chorus of people, organizations, legislators. It's gotten to a point now where it's just absolutely absurd. And we recommend, you know, and I recommend personally to avoid any, you know, food products that are likely products of antibiotic animals. And you know, so if you do shop for meat products, you know, farmers markets are best. Talk to your farmer if you can get to a good supermarket or market, you know, by the organic products, and if you can't afford the organic products, look for the animal products that have not been treated with antibiotic feeds.
By the way, for listeners to be aware, when you're buying products that are organic, the nutritional value is many times higher than that same product grown in a commercial, regular environment, because it doesn't have all the minerals in there, and it doesn't have the high-level quality, so you're actually getting, for your money, a way better product for yourself, and I don't think most people are aware of that.
It truly is, yeah. There's been a number of studies that that show that particularly, you know, foods that the produce that is grown organically has higher nutritional values, and the meats that we eat that are the meat that's grass fed, the chicken that's you know, that's that gets a roam free, that they that their nutritional values, their omega 3 content is significantly higher than concentrated feed operation animals. So yeah, go out and buy the best meat that you can, and it's probably best to eat a little bit less of it too. So.
So let's talk a little bit about what Congress is and isn't doing nowadays, because it's a Congress that you can't get much through, but what are they attempting to do in terms of taking away our rights at this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest threat was just recently, and it was thankfully defeated. We had such an outpouring of support from our grassroots that it put the brakes on a Senator Durbin amendment to, he called it to label dietary supplements. Well, dietary supplements are already labeled. There's a lot of regulation and rules about that and legislation. He pretty much wants to regulate away our access to vitamin dietary supplements and drafted an amendment. Snuck it in at the last minute. We found out about it along with some other organizations and really just put the word out to our grassroots community. And we were up on Capitol Hill along with others. We sent some 60,000 messages to Congress in 24 hours to tell them to not pass this amendment, Senator Durbin's amendment. And we won this battle. 77-20 was the final vote on the Durbin Amendment to really regulate away supplements. So that was really the biggest threat with grassroots activists, with our work, with everybody else's help. We really got to you know, put a line in the sand there and really showed Congress that we were becoming more organized, that people want access to these vitamins and dietary supplements, and they're not going to let Congress take away that right.
So how can people get involved with the Alliance for Natural Health USA?
Easiest way, too, is just to head to our newly redesigned and user-friendly webpage. It's anh-usa.org. On that webpage, you can sign up for our newsletter. You can take action. You can find an integrative medical practitioner. You can donate. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. That all happens on our homepage, anh-usa.org.
And they will, if you sign up, send you a weekly email alerting you to the issues that are out there, because I get those. And now that I'm realizing that taking action really does impact, I'm going to actually start taking more action myself when your alerts come out. So that's
great. Thank you very much, Dr. Tulpitz.
So, Daryl, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.